Democracy in Pakistan, a bloody business. This Saturday in Pakistan, citizens go to the polls, but the country has been rocked this week with various attacks aimed at disrupting the electoral process. Yesterday, a bomb targeted an Islamic Party candidate in northwest Pakistan. Though the candidate survived, five were killed, many wounded. Monday saw the deadliest attack in the run-up to these elections when a suicide bomber targeted an election rally, killing 25 people. Declan Walsh is the Pakistan bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome, Declan.
Hello.
Is this a campaign that is having an impact disrupting these elections? And what's on the line here on Saturday?
Well, certainly these have been, we've seen a very targeted, concerted campaign of attacks by the Taliban, broadly against the democratic process. Over the last month, over 100 people have died, including 17 people who died in two further bombings today. And it's really a sign that the Taliban, which until now were seen as an insurgency that were more or less limited to the northwestern part of the country, carrying out attacks on security forces, have, with this campaign of bombings, very much declared themselves as a, if you like, an undeclared political force. They've said that they want to influence these elections by targeting the country's secular parties. So they've mostly concentrated their attacks against the Awami National Party, that's a party in the northwest which has opposed the Taliban, and they've also attacked the MQM party in the port city of Karachi, which also proclaims itself as being a secular force in Pakistani politics. So the significance of it is both the impact that the Taliban has had on the ability of these parties to campaign, but also a sort of new direction for the insurgency, a declaration that they see themselves as influencing the democratic process coming up to these polls on Saturday.
Do attacks like these drive turnout for Islamist parties in Pakistan? You couldn't necessarily assume that they're allied with the Taliban.
Well, the main competition for the secular parties are not actually Islamist parties, but more conservative ones. In this case, they're mostly led by Nawaz Sharif. He's the former prime minister, and by Imran Khan. He's the former cricket star who's very much emerging as a third force in Pakistani politics. Both of those politicians have been quite measured in their criticism of the Taliban over the last number of weeks, and they have not suffered any direct attacks. So critics are saying that while this may have some marginal impact on the ability of Islamist parties to get their vote out, it does seem to be, in some parts of the country at least, tilting the playing field in favor of those more conservative candidates.
Broadly speaking, Declan Walsh, does the chaos sown by these attacks discredit the government and play into the hands of the military, which, of course, has had plenty of opportunities to have power in Pakistan?
The military has very much been on the sidelines so far in this election. The army chief, General Kiani, has made it clear that he does not want the military to play a role, even though he said that they will provide additional security on polling day on Saturday, if necessary. And indeed, most of the drama, if you like, involving the military over the last number of weeks has involved the former military ruler, Pervez Musharraf, who's faced a number of court charges, and he's currently under house arrest in Pakistan. So it doesn't necessarily play into the hands of the military in the sense that there's very little indication that they might want to sense power. But it does, if you like, raise the stakes for the military in its fight against the Pakistani Taliban. It demonstrates how these militants have formed a sort of a broader political agenda and are able to reach targets not just in the northwest of the country, but also in Karachi. So they've certainly demonstrated their growing abilities with this campaign of bombings.
A resurgent Taliban and the Musharraf scandal problem, something of a coup insurance there as Pakistanis go to the polls on Saturday. Declan Walsh, Pakistan bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.